This is The Splendid Table from APM, American Public Media, the show about life's appetites. I'm Lynn Rossetto Casper. Now, sometimes all the food sloganese we live with is totally overwhelming. To be healthy, you have to eat five a day. Eat local, eat organic, and live better. Vote with your fork. And of course, good, healthy food is the right of every American. Excellent ideas, but who can afford it? Well, Tracy McMillan is a reporter who took on this bear of a project. That is, to learn firsthand how those slogans play in the lives of a large percentage of us. What she unearthed is in her book, The American Way of Eating, Undercover at Walmart, Applebee's, Farmfields, and the Dinner Table. Tracy, good to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Tracy, you set out to see, is it possible to eat healthily and eat well when you're working as most low-income Americans work? And one of the places that you decided to actually go and work was Walmart. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, well, Walmart, you know, it's, for New Yorkers, it sort of seems like this exotic place because we don't have one yet. So to go and work at Walmart, I decided to go outside of Detroit because Detroit's known for being a city with very little in the way of fresh groceries. And I thought this would be really interesting, right, to sort of live in a place known as being a food desert and then be commuting out to a national grocer the same way a lot of people were doing for their grocery shopping. And I think the most interesting thing I sort of cottoned on to in my work at Walmart was just that there's this very strong narrative that we hear about corporate efficiencies and how, you know, everything works like this very cleanly, well-oiled machine. And at least in the Walmart I was at, that completely broke down when it came to produce. I spent a shift one day throwing out about 200 pounds of asparagus that had molded and rotted in the cooler and hadn't been rotated out. It was about 6 weeks old. The cooler had a leak from the ceiling that lasted almost the entire duration of my time there, so about a month. So we were losing a lot of produce in that way. And it just was this very interesting lesson in both how difficult and tricky it is to manage a produce section, right? Because if you think about it, you know, somebody has to be on top of, you know, the 300 to 500 items that are all dying at different rates in front of you, as well as just a really good lesson in, you know, that's really important. You know, we talk so much about wanting to love your farmer and know your farmer, but I came out of this feeling like, you know, we really should know and love our produce managers because that's a really difficult job and it's incredibly important for us.
But Walmart is one of the places that's touting that they're selling produce at prices that would be affordable to just about everybody.
Yeah, Walmart does a really good job of telling everyone how much lower their prices are, which tends to be true if you're comparing a grocery basket, sort of a typical basket of goods. Walmart's prices on produce are not necessarily any lower than local grocery stores. When I was in Detroit, I actually did a comparison between my little local grocery store, La Colmena, in southwest Detroit, and the Walmart at which I had been working. And the produce, on average, was 7% cheaper in Detroit as opposed to buying it at Walmart. And fresh meat, sort of the basket I had of that, was 17% cheaper in Detroit than at Walmart. And part of that's because Walmart doesn't have to compete the same way that we think of in economics, right? Walmart is such a huge store that they can just play with their pricing cocktail however much they want. And because they do so much private label development, right, so they're doing a lot of their own processed food in-house, that stuff is always going to be so much cheaper than the national brands that when you compare, you know, buying all of your groceries at Walmart, where Walmart saves you money is the processed stuff.
So you were really working undercover, and your goal was to live on what you made, just as everyone else that worked in this store and in other places did, and see how that worked out for you. But you began by actually working in the fields where our food is grown in the Salinas Valley, right, in California. Mm-hmm. And how? First of all, I'm just curious, how much do you make when you're working as a farm worker?
I typically was earning between $2 and $4 an hour. I was being paid straight piece rate. So when I was working in garlic, I got $1.60 for every 5-gallon bucket I could fill with cut heads of garlic. So
that's
you know,
nothing.
The employer, It did not turn out to be very much money. My first day, I picked 10 buckets, so that's $16. And my wages were not brought up to minimum wage, which is illegal. Like, you're not even
I thought you had to get minimum wage.
You have to get minimum wage. So, you know, if I'm a bad picker, it is my employer's job to bring my wages up to minimum. That just wasn't happening, in large part because most of the folks I was working alongside were undocumented. And so they weren't very inclined to complain.
How do you live on that kind of money?
You know, there's no real big secret to it. They just sort of cut as many costs as they can. So, you know, when I was living in the Salinas Valley, I was sharing a small two-bedroom house with about 16 or 17 other people. So in one bedroom, there was a family of seven. In the second bedroom, there was a family of four. I had a little cubby that I paid for off the living room, and I was paying sort of top dollar in terms of farm worker rent. So I paid about $300 for 7 weeks of housing. And then there were between four and six single men living in the garage in a shed built off the back of it called the casita. And so we all shared one bathroom and one kitchen. And, you know, there were communal meals with the family of seven they would share with me. And because my Spanish is poor, it was never totally clear to me if this was straight charity on their part or if they considered it included as part of room and board, because there was sometimes food shared with the other folks in the house as well.
So, Tracy, for a year, you were working essentially undercover. Is there one picture that comes to your mind when you look back at that time?
I mean, I think the main picture that would come up for me is, you know, a kitchen with empty cupboards, maybe, because I really just didn't have enough money to buy the kinds of pantry staples, the kinds of condiments and all these fancy things that, you know, in my normal life, I forget what a luxury it is to have a well-stocked pantry. You know, it's very easy to cook quickly and well when you have, you know, a few different vinegars, a couple different oils, you know, a panoply of spices. You know, that makes it really easy to cook something delicious very quickly. It's really not as much fun to cook when you're sort of stuck with salt, pepper, oregano, rice, and beans.
Mm-hmm. Tracy, thanks for talking with us.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Journalist Tracy McMillan wrote The American Way of Eating, Undercover at Walmart, Applebee's, Farmfields, and The Dinner Table.